We're definitely in the rainy season. And the rain is getting serious. The hard rain indeed is already falling, but is going to fall a lot harder soon. And this morning we had a taste of the earth shaking, but it's nothing compared to how the whole earth will soon be shaking. And we have a last margin of time to prepare on every level, but for us spiritually prepare, and for all those who seek liberation from the phenomenal illusion and the suffering endemic to ego consciousness before the final conflagrations that will end the age and create a cosmic reset. And so I hope that everyone is on track with your self-liberation from any trace of identification with egoic thoughts or with the body and somatized forms of suffering, and free of any karmic glitches created by negative projections. This is the time for all of those who wish to awaken to recognize that the path is through the opening of the heart and the silencing of the mind, and the bringing of the attention from the finite mental agitations of the false self deeper within until you reach the infinite self. Which is the absolute state of awareness that cannot be perceived by even the most subtle senses, but which, when you have attained it, the ego will dissolve into an ocean of bliss, into a luminous presence that is free of all thought but filled with joy. And with an intuitive knowing of everything that must be known. So this is the time for the completion of our journey. And to complete that journey, we must do a final rite of passage of overcoming the false self, the character that we've been playing within the phenomenal plane, and realize that as a conditioned mental complex that has no relation to who you are. And do not be deceived by any of the ego's thoughts, because they do not pertain to you. And the ego's suffering is not your suffering. And it is through that open-hearted portal to the supreme love that brings union with your true nature and dissolves all remnants of the character's traits that have caused any kind of karma, whether it seems like suffering or it is an attachment that produces temporary enjoyment, but all of the traces of identification must be released for you to be completely liberated from that attachment and the ego's dependency upon the gaze and the projections of others. And only that frees one from both desire and fear. And until desire and fear have disappeared, the fullness of love cannot manifest. We are in a time when all of you know we are in the preliminaries of the great war that is soon to go fully kinetic. And although some may think perhaps there's a lull, relatively, there is before the storm breaks on the world stage. But it's only been a kind of strategy of boiling the frog with such a gradual increase in the intensity of warfare that the frog doesn't leap out of the pot. And Hezbollah does not leap out of Lebanon into northern Israel, and Iran and Syria leap out of their places, and the U.S. military leap out of its positions, and all of the conflict become fully active. And so as we perceive the trajectory of events, we must be fully in the consciousness that all of this is a perfect drama in which this last conflict, which has long been prophesied by every religion, including the Buddhists and the Hindus and all of the Eastern traditions, we must recognize it as a blessing and as a merciful euthanasia for the billions of souls whose suffering cannot otherwise be relieved because their own minds have been turned away from God and from love into an indoctrination into hatred and fear and suffering that creates an incoherence of the mind and a loss of a moral compass and a clarity regarding the nature of reality. And so this event will bring all of those lost souls out of the bondage of the body and will be brought back into the light and love of God and their suffering released instantly. This is the will of God to bring about an end to a world that has become degraded, morally depraved, and godless. And its own internal nihilistic death drive is bringing this about. And so our function is not to interfere, but to simply offer the light and the love that can be a life-saving energy that can help whatever souls are praying for God's help to receive that help more powerfully, the more beings are in that love and transmitting it into the world. The more we fill the morphogenic field with that love and light, the more others will be able to feel it and have a kind of supernatural anesthetic that will buffer their own suffering. So I hope all of us are fully serving in that capacity, having freed ourselves from our own suffering and our own karma, so that we can be fully available as bodhisattvas to help others who are still trapped in the illusion. And this in itself frees us from any remaining karma. And enables us to be complete with all souls and have no more debts and no more attachment. Not to others and not to our own bodily instrument, and most importantly, not to the mental apparatus. The mind should be constantly now in stillness. The only exception being when there is a particular kind of service that requires the solution of a problem that is limited, and the mind should be able to work as a laser beam in full coherence, without there being any identification with it or any attachment to outcome. And everything should be done in karma yoga, so that no karma gets created, but the yoga of one's service enables those capacities to think to be used only for their pragmatic purposes, and then the mind again can withdraw into the stillness. And so our practice combines karma yoga with bhakti, because our devotion to God is what enables us to be able to perform in that way as an act of service. And it's the receiving of the love of God that gives us the strength to be able to proceed and endure whatever hardships our own body might have to go through. And this in turn is based upon the jnana yoga of recognizing that there is only one self, and each being is a manifestation of that self. There are no others. There is only one self with infinite manifestations. But every manifestation is simply an appearance of light within a holographic field. And that field itself, which is the field of Brahman, is created by the love of Shakti and Shiva, the ultimate love between light and awareness, the supreme light and that absolute awareness. The light has love for the awareness because the awareness is its truth. And the awareness has love for the light because the light is its beauty. And so the world is the expression of that beauty in infinite forms. But that beauty exists and remains beautiful only so long as it is in oneness with truth. When the light falls away from the truth, it turns into shadow. It falls into darkness, into materialized forms that no longer emanate light. And so now it is the moment that each of our individual lights must be fully lit. This is the time in the world when we are approaching the festival of lights that every religion has in one way or another, and it always comes in the winter, in the time of darkness. And in this moment of the darkest period of history, our lights must shine the brightest that they ever have by being fully surrendered to the eternal light and presence of God within. So I hope that none of us forget this task and this privilege and honor of being carriers of the light, and that we allow that light to shine without any obstruction, without any veils, without any egoic thought patterns that interfere with the emanation of the light. And that we recognize that light in every being. So this is our function, and we have one more week of this rainy season retreat to fully focus on achieving liberation from any last traces of egoic identification. And I hope we will all make use of this time that is so precious to realize our freedom and attain the divine royalty of our being by eliminating all traces of the neediness of the ego, whether it's a need to feel included in something and not left out, or a need to feel loved and appreciated, or a need to feel validated in some way, or a need to feel any kind of specialness on the phenomenal plane. And realize the equality and the sameness that is the source of our radiance. And no longer focus on differences, but only on the absolute oneness that unites us all. And recognizing that each one has a unique and different role to play as a character in the drama, but the infinite self, who you are, that is not that character, is in absolute liberated realization that you have never been other than the one self who is God. So long as there is a trace of ego, we must worship that God as other, but we must know that we are children of that God who is mother and father, and that the soul is a direct emanation of that self, and that our ultimate destination is the return to the realization that all of us are light and awareness, that are simply aspects and attributes of that one self made manifest as the many. But we are not other than the Supreme One. So a balance of total humility and total realization of the greatness of our infinite being, but that we share with all others. And what is most important is that we no longer attach to any thought constructs, and no longer have any attachment to some attainment within the life of the character, but only the attainment of freedom from identification with the character. Because only then will the power and the will of God flow through and animate that character in an accurate way as an avatar rather than an ego. And it's this shift of consciousness from a limited paradigm to the unlimited intelligence of God consciousness that must be achieved through our surrender and our realization. And this must be created consistently so that this becomes the last remaining sanskara of that supreme remembrance of the God Self, until the attention is completely absorbed and no further effort is required because no separation remains. So that is the message that I was asked to transmit this evening. And so the floor is now open if anyone has any questions regarding your sadhana or the teachings or any observations you would like to make or any clarifications on anything. Please feel free, and the mic is there. And if there's anyone on Zoom, you'll let me know if they have questions or comments. So the floor is open.
Thank you, Shunya. I don't know the question yet formulated, but it's probably the same question that I ask every time. I feel like I can listen to what you have just spoken so eloquently and beautifully and clearly, and I feel inside myself this understanding and this resonance, and yet as I live life, as I'm in the world and I'm doing my service, and as I'm exploring music, and as I'm relating to others, I'm still believing I'm the character living life and trying to overcome itself. And so it's really, it's difficult for me to overcome the sense that I'm always failing at the task. The liberation from myself, the self-liberation.
Okay, let me suggest a more paradoxical way to approach this, because paradox is the key to realization. Your character is not going to get it. It's not a question of the failure of the character. It's not the will of God for your character to ever understand this. But it is possible for you to be in such a state of consciousness that you're aware of the thoughts of your character, but you realize that you are that awareness that isn't the character, and you can have a sense of humor about the character's inability to get who you are. Okay? That's the difference. There has to be a fission in which you realize that you are playing a character, and that character, which has become an autonomous entity because it has its own algorithms that cause it to have certain desires and certain activities, etc. But none of that is you. You are simply the awareness of that. And your awareness is what animates and actually gives life energy to the character, but you are not the character. And it's allowing the character to be exactly who he is, not interfering. Because if it were the will of God for your character to be any different than it is, your character would become what God wills it to be. Right now, God is willing your character to be exactly what it is. It's perfect as what it is. Okay? Accept your character unconditionally. Don't try to change it. All you have to do is realize it's not you. It was a conditioned creation. You weren't born with that ego. It was an acquired object, a mental object that grew with its desires and its intentions based on the desires of others and the situation in the family system and the social order, etc., as well as certain talents that were endemic with the sanskaras of the soul that were brought into this life. Everything has happened exactly as it should have happened and is happening exactly as it should happen now. There is no problem. All that must be realized is this character, which is an ingenious creation of God. You didn't create the character, nor did your parents, nor did the family. It was created by an intelligence far greater that created all of those systems as well. But all you are is the awareness that can appreciate the divine beauty and joy and sense of humor and tragicomedy of it all, without trying to interfere or make any change whatsoever, because everything is perfect. So there is nothing to be done except to realize that the I am, the sense of being that you are, is not that character. And then let the character do its thing. But once you realize that you are not that character, then your attention will naturally be focused on who am I really? What am I? Once you enter the awareness that is empty of identification, you will be then be filled with the inspiration of God and the presence of the love of God that will fill you and that will bring a sense of grace to the awareness that is the soul energy. And the soul's heart will open, and the wisdom body will open, and the bliss body, and the character will magically change in accord with that opening to God consciousness. Not because the character itself is struggling to become different and to realize God. It will never happen that way. It can only happen through the fission from identification and then the fusion with the real self that you are. Okay, does that help at all?
It definitely helps, and I know you've explained this so many times, and I feel like I understand it, and I can stand here and listen to you and take it in and say yes. I am focusing on that awareness, and yet I guess I'm still not disidentified enough.
No, you can't focus on the awareness. You are the awareness that can focus on the character, or you can focus on presence, on yourself as presence. But the focus is naturally in a state of emptiness without an object. There is no subject and no object in awareness. Okay, that's the state to be in. And then the character will proceed in whatever way is intended by God. That is all part of the prakriti, the working of the power of nature that unfolds naturally without any effort. But you won't get there with thought. You will get there only with a silence deeper than thought. And once the silence deeper than thought is there, that will change the nature of the thoughts. And finally, the character itself will realize the presence of God within it that will create a sense of awe and wonder and joy. And that is what will bring about transformation.
Thank you.
Okay, a question from Ute. Do I have to follow the character's tasks or asks from others when you are not identified with it due to it being my karma? Or do I have a choice there being the real?
Well, tell me again the question. I wasn't sure exactly of what the
Do I have to follow the character's tasks or asks from others when you're not identified with it? Due to it being my karma? Or do I have a choice being the real?
The character will continue to proceed to live its life in a way that will minimize its suffering. But there are tasks in life that every being has to perform, even if it's just feeding yourself and keeping the body alive and healthy, etc. But the awareness that you are should have no attitude about it, no thoughts. Let the character do its thing, but without having an interest in it. Or feel any identification with its physical needs or limitations. And once the awareness is free of that, there will be such joy that the life will change without making any effort or even having to make choices about it. There will simply be synchronicities that arise that change the conditions of life in accord with the vibrational frequency that is emanated from the soul. So don't try to change things as the character. And remember that the awareness doesn't think, it is pure presence. That presence has an intelligence that it goes beyond the mind and beyond the limited identity and affects the entire field in which your life unfolds. That field will change its characteristics. And the people who encounter you and whom you deal with will change in the way they treat you in accord with your vibrational frequency, not because you demand certain things or change your habits or what you want. Those things will unfold naturally, possibly, but what happens will come from a level of being that is no longer thinking about what one should do, and there will be a state of acceptance. And in that state, everything will flow beautifully. But you have to trust and surrender to the will of God completely. I hope that's of help.
And a question from Bryant, who says, I live in a rather isolated area and have very limited contact with others. How can I best make a positive contribution to the field as a whole?
Well, you're lucky if you live in a remote area, and your vibrational frequency as a soul has no limit in space and time. So if you are in a state of inner peace and in divine love, and you emanate those vibrations, it will fill the morphogenic field throughout the planet, and it will affect every soul who is seeking that kind of energy and that kind of luminosity in their life. So be in that state in which you are a light unto the world, and trust and have faith that that light will reach to the farthest distance of the world without your body having to go anywhere or speak to anyone. The great sages in history have largely been hermits living in caves far from anyone, and they've had the most positive influence on the world of anyone, much more than the politicians and the celebrities of the world who are well known. And so it is that that state in which you recognize your oneness with all that is that creates the greatest effect of all.
Thank you. I wanted to share a bit how I have been since I was up here a couple of days ago, five days ago.
Okay.
The question about feeling anxiety going when I was in my bhavan.
Mm. Ah, yes.
And very interesting, I feel that somehow there was a shift has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel more relaxed.
Wonderful.
I'm starting to enjoy.
Beautiful.
To be in my bhavan and this have. Yeah, this has just led to kind of new possibilities opening up for what I do when I'm in the bhavan, and I've just been following those impulses, and it's been. How to describe it? I feel what has happened is that this kind of presence in my heart has become more palpable, mm-hmm. more feeling. Uh-huh. And this has also helped in the meditations to go deeper in meditation. I really enjoy. I've always liked the morning meditation, but even the midday meditation now, I feel I can sit in a space that's when I just feel this presence in my heart, it's so easy to just relax into that space. Mm-hmm. And that silences the minds as well. So I know this present from before in my life. But it's a while since I have felt it the way I do right now. Mm. And I realize that it's always there. It's always there. It's just that sometimes it's been covered up. Mm-hmm. Rather than mm-hmm. looking at it the other way around, like now it comes. No, it's always there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, I just wonder if you have any comments on that. If it's because naturally I'm drawn, but it is like I am drawn to this place where. Mm-hmm. Where this, the more I'm there, the more it reveals itself. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's beautiful. You know, in Sanskrit, it's very interesting. The word bhavan refers to the outer space mm-hmm. in which we abide. But the word bhava refers to the inner space. And if you enter the mahabhava of the space of your heart, you will be in great ecstatic joy and love. And that's the real bhavan, is the mahabhava. And when you're in that state, then you are in your bhavan wherever you are, because it's all your space, because it's the space of God, and you are one with that. So that was your original nature. And as you say, before there was a time when you were more in touch with that. And I would imagine that the ego took some sanskaras of insecurity that then wanted to attach to others to feel like it was safe and loved and wanted and worthy, etc. And so when it was alone, it felt abandoned and isolated and uncertain about where others were in relation to you. And so the ego created a kind of anxiety condition. And now that sanskara, which was just a very temporary covering over the real nature of bliss, is falling away and disappearing, and the real light is now shining, and the love is glowing and getting stronger and stronger. So I would imagine that every day you will be much more in that mahabhava and shining as the angel that you really are, and the manifestation of the divine goddess consciousness that is flowing through you. And simply by surrendering to that, you will be at home everywhere in perfect peace and joy.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you for that progress report.
I wanted to say thank you for this meditation. Mm. That was very, very calming and peaceful, and also just thank you for the retreat up until now, the teachings and the documentaries, and I just wanted to say, well, there's a couple of things, but the opening teaching on adoration. And when you mentioned the importance of not feeling resistance to love, I've really been focusing on that and noticing much more of a sinking in and a relaxation, and much less of a struggle and fighting, but more of an accepting. And there's still stuff going on. There's still knots, but it feels like it's opening up anyways. So that's been just a great boon. What I wanted to ask about, which is what I'm kind of concerned with, is my inability to silence the mind as much as I would like to. And I noticed that's still, it's ongoing. There is more silence, but what I notice is that oftentimes I'll be thinking about the teachings or about books that I've been reading. So it seems like positive thoughts, at least. Not to say that there aren't any ego thoughts, but they're definitely there. So there's those two categories, and then another thing that comes up very often is just songs from lyrics that I listen to, and then that will keep on repeating. And so I wonder, is there something more? I know that there's not more that I need to do, but if you could offer any, I guess, insights on silencing the mind and knowing are there thoughts to keep, thoughts to discard, thoughts that will help engender the silence more, and thoughts that will keep me away from it, or should I cancel it all, or kind of this?
Well, okay, so again, it's important not to fight with your mind, because it would be the mind fighting with the mind. And so you don't want to do that. You want to realize you're not the mind. You're not those thoughts. And those thoughts are irrelevant to your realization of your true nature. You will never get there through thoughts. You will only get there through the silencing of the mind itself. But in the meantime, all you need to do is realize you are not the mind and its thoughts do not pertain to you. And that those are really, that's the essence of the teachings, right? Of all the great teachings of every tradition is to be in a state free of thought constructs. That's Zen, that's Taoism, that's Hinduism, that's Buddhism of every sort. That's Christian contemplation. That's Kabbalah. The Sufi realization. All the traditions say, be in the state beyond thought, and be in that state in which the heart opens in love to God, which is the same. When the mind is silenced, then the heart opens. So, by remembering that, your attention will go into your heart. You'll begin to feel the love and the presence of a power greater than your mind or your ego, and you will be attracted to that more than to your thoughts. And that magnetic attraction to the joy of being rather than the jouissance of thinking that also produces suffering and conflict and all the struggles that you're describing, they will simply disappear by themselves just by your attention receding back into your heart. That's all. Nothing else need be done. And then once you have felt that love, the taste of it is so sweet that you won't want to go back into the thoughts that create bitterness and struggle and agony of any kind. And that's that sweetness will bring you into bliss and liberation very easily and quickly.
All right, that's a beautiful answer. I notice very much indeed the jouissance of thoughts. There's an attraction to that.
Yes.
And kind of what I'm taking away, or part of what I'm taking away from what you're saying, is that until that full silence is there, it's just disidentifying. And that's enough, because I tend to judge myself for not being in silence as much as I want to, and that creates the fight. So there can just be a satisfaction with being in that presence as much as possible.
Yeah, be in acceptance, because the awareness is not the one thinking I should be in awareness. Mm-hmm. The awareness is already there and is what you are and never changes. Whether you're thinking or you're dreaming or sleeping or whatever state you're in, the awareness never changes. That's constant mm-hmm. and eternal. And that's the portal to your liberated self, right? That's it. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to be done and no change that needs to be made. It's simply awareness of who am I who is aware of the ego that won't stop thinking. And as soon as you realize that what I am is not that thinking apparatus, then the mind will naturally, the attention of the mind will turn to the source and be filled with light and joy and love and the sweetness of liberation. So it will all happen naturally and automatically without effort. That's the key. Just realize that what you are is not the mind that thinks and not the body instrument. It's just the awareness that is always at peace, in silence, in pure presence, and that is in oneness with God.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. There's a few minutes left if there's any other questions.
We're speaking about silence and stillness. The term Mona,
oh, yes.
is something that Ramana speaks about, but I'm trying to understand this in the context of sometimes you've described stillness as perpetual speech as well. Mm. So I'm kind of having the experience of more stillness, and there's like an energetic kind of magnetic sublime feeling that goes with it, and it's not constant. But I'm touching into it enough to recognize it. I'm curious how Mona relates to that feeling, and am I on the right track of understanding it in that way?
You see, when you are in that sublime stillness of the thoughts of the ego mind, and you're no longer involved in its either identification or its drives or attitudes or paradigms of reality, when you've completely left that behind, you enter into the field that is actually the chit, okay? The intelligence of God consciousness. And when you stay in that, what will precipitate out of that that field of infinite wisdom will be thoughts that will be downloaded, that will be like aha, there will be insights, there will be profound realizations that will not necessarily be put into language, but they could be put into language, right? And the great poets are taking dictation from that state and they're turning it into poetic language. But you can also stay in it and then receive more and more, and it will be a knowingness without having to formulate it into words. But it will be the voice of the silence itself that is actually the Satchitananda flowing through your mental apparatus that can be turned into language, into musical inspiration, artistic inspiration, into whatever is the will of God for that to be converted into on a pragmatic basis in the phenomenal plane. But mostly what it will do is to bring your consciousness into such a state of maturation that you will realize that your function is to be the carrier of that wisdom, and that wisdom has power, it has strength, it has siddhis that are let's say used by it, can be used by it to create effects if it is the will of God throughout the field of the noosphere of the planet. And that wisdom becomes a source of strength and of support that others will be drawn to as well without your having to say a word. And your silence will transmit that same energy that others will be able to turn into an aha and a sense of I get it without necessarily there being any exchange of words.
So the relationship then between vijnana and that chit, because it's vijnana is the word that keeps on coming up,
yes,
as another way of describing,
yes,
that.
Yes.
And interestingly, over the last couple of days, I went to start reading the Vijnana Bhairava.
Ah, yes.
Which has been very impactful. It also speaks about perpetual speech, which I thought was an interesting synchronicity. But is vijnana that process of,
yes,
when what emerges you're, out
when,
of the stones?
When the Vijnana Maya Kosha has activated consciously, that's the Buddhi awakening. And as that reaches its fullness, it becomes the Buddha consciousness, which is the chit. And so you will then, your consciousness will rise out of the sense of being an individual receiving wisdom, and you will become absorbed and become the field of that knowledge itself. So Ramana has often said, there are no jnanis, there's only jnana. Mm-hmm. You become the jnana, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is a portal that seems to be opening to you, and now just surrender to it. And that power of chaitanya, of supreme conscious knowledge will be given and will flow through you as an instrument.
And would you recommend, because what happens is it's kind of intermittent, and there's feelings where that silence is, it's not so problematic that it's a void, it feels dull, and there's a inclination towards going and reading something to try to make that space just a little bit more energized, because I have felt what it could be, it becomes very obvious when it's not that. And so is reading, or especially these kinds of texts, right?
I wouldn't read too much, because that'll get you involved in externalizing into someone else's concepts of it. Mm-hmm. But if you're reading a great sage, of course, you one line of it will take you into that space again with a sense of aliveness. Mm-hmm. But what you really want to do is combine the love of chakra 4 with the vijnana chakra 5. And when you're in that state and realizing that this is the presence of the consciousness and knowledge of God that you have now access to, you will love that and feel gratitude and joy, and that will make it very much alive and luminous, and then more will pour through.
That's interesting. The thought went through my mind today. There is a source of love.
Yes.
And it wasn't, it sounds obvious, but when it's not something that you encounter, and yes, it wasn't like I had this, you know, encounter with it, but there was the idea that it exists,
yes,
which was something that I think the ego is basically in denial of.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. I feel like it's,
yes,
very helpful.
And not only is there love, but you are that love.
Right.
That's your real self, the combination of the love and the wisdom.
Okay, I'll report back on that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I hope you found this gathering useful, and that your honeymoon will proceed with ever greater blissful realization of union with the Supreme Self. And you will accept the truth of your nature without struggle, and make it an effortless transition into the God realization that is your destiny, and allow it to happen now simply by not resisting the truth of who you are. It is really just that simple. And when that happens, the ego will begin to dissolve. And that's where the resistance will come, because the ego won't want to let go. And once you are in that state, the sweetness of the love and the joy will disarm the ego, and it will open up to receive the grace that is being offered to it. So don't be disturbed by any last resistance, but allow it to be overcome by the love and the joy of the realization of God. And when you do that, all will happen effortlessly and beautifully in the shortest time. And you will become lights unto the world that are perfect manifestations of the truth of your divine nature. So blessings to all of you for that attainment of liberation. Namaste.